Sports Hub headlines.
Hate everybody. All right. Patriots won't practice until tomorrow as they get ready for Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis. Game's not for a week and a half still. Eagles, Minneapolis. Looks like the linebacker coach will be staying because yesterday the Cardinals hired Steve Wilks, not Patriots linebacker coach Brian Flores, as their new head coach. So the Patriots will be the home team in the Super Bowl, but they've elected to wear the away jerseys. They're wearing white, like they did in previous Super Bowls. They are 3-0 while wearing white in Super Bowls under Bill Belichick. Furthermore, the team wearing white jerseys has won the Super Bowl in 12 of the last 13 seasons.
I think T-Bone told me.
Babs?
Babs. Told me the Steelers were the one team that lost wearing the white in that stretch.
To the Packers, right.
They lost them, and the Steelers lost to the Packers.
Bruins back in action tonight. We just spoke with Torrey Krug about a certain play in a Canadiens game last week. More on that later. They will host the New Jersey Devils at 7 o'clock. Charlie McAvoy going to miss a couple of weeks after undergoing a procedure to correct an abnormal heart rhythm. Bruce Cassidy weighing in on not only his team, but the Patriots, too.
We're coming at you. We're coming at you. It doesn't matter what happens, and right to the bitter end. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. You got to be champions to do that. And there's guys in this locker room that were and would like to be again. And the younger guys that have, and hopefully that's one of the things that they embrace.
Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, Dunkin' Donuts, Bruins pregame show, 6:30 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics also play tonight on The Sports Hub very late. It's the Lakers game out west. Sean
it's
Grandy,
like
Cedric Maxwell on the call. What do you want? Headlines are brought
called. He wants his question. Email to him.
Headlines brought to you by the Boston area campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Go to csb.com for more details. We'll send him your question too, laughing boy. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app today.
Highly underrated piece of media.
Listen live.
I don't buy this for a second.
Podcasts, tweets, and more.
Love it.
Available in the App Store and Google Play.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dan Shaughnessy, you know, the Benedict Arnold of Boston sports. Dan Shaughnessy, you know, the Benedict Arnold of Boston sports.
Noontime hour, that's Bill Burr calling Dan Shaughnessy the Benedict Arnold of Boston sports.
Yeah, I heard about that. I kind of remember talking about this before, and Dan at the time saying, like, who's Bill Burr?
I've never heard of this guy.
A podcast? Who is he? So you should know because we talked about it before.
He's a comedian.
Internet thing.
Very successful, popular comedian.
He's big. Okay.
Touch and Rich have him on all the time.
Yeah. He's been a guest on their show a few times.
What?
No, yeah. Well, I still never heard of him.
No, I was aware he's a comedian. I'm sure he's a very funny fellow.
Yeah.
Who says fellow?
It's so disingenuous.
Who uses, do you do that on purpose, or is that just
It's flow? Like swell. So
swell, I
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it's like old-timey
How
language.
Do you feel? You just oh, swell.
Yes.
But you could go fella and not sound so
How's your steak today?
Odd.
Sir, is your steak cooked correctly here? Would you mind cutting into the middle? Oh, sure. I'll taste it. It's swell. Like nothing flows like that. Like, you've got to be like, you nice got to live fella in like happy land, zippy land. To come up with that.
617-779-0985. Dan, what did you make of the hit on Rob Gronkowski on Sunday?
Well, you know, you try and look at it through the prism of, you know, which team it is and what's happened in the past. It looks bad helmet to helmet. But I understand the football defense, which is, this is a football play. I thought the Richard Sherman tweet on it was really told me a lot, which is, hey, we go for the legs. They kill us on that. There's nowhere to go here. And I guess
what about what his teammate did, Earl Thomas, where he stunned Gronkowski in his chest and knocked him out with a broken lung?
Yep.
Why don't you hit him square in the chest? Why do you got to hit him in the legs or the head?
Yeah, I just think that this, where do you want me to do it? You want me to hit him in the knees? How about anywhere between the neck
it's
and
not
the
like
knees?
It's Deion Lewis.
Is there no space there?
There's
not
a landing
really
zone.
Really quickly, and I don't think it's, he is launching with his helmet.
I don't care. You can even hit him up high if that's what you want to do. Just don't hit him with your helmet.
He went up to hit him high.
He hit him with his helmet.
He elevated.
He wanted to hit him with his helmet, helmet to helmet. That's what he wanted to
do.
So
should there have been ejection from the game, post-game suspension? I mean, obviously, it's bad for football.
And by the way, this is not an issue that is limited to the Patriots or exclusive to Rob Gronkowski. This could have happened in any game with any two opponents on the field. And I think it's something the league has to consider.
Yeah, it should have been 30 yards. It should have been 15 for the personal foul and 15 for taunting. That's what it should have been.
Right.
Well,
should have got
his behavior after the play was particularly disturbing.
That's when I start calling him a punk.
Right. There's no deterrent for a player to blow up star players like he did with Rob Gronkowski. There's not 15 yards. You would take 15 yards to concuss, especially now.
Get him out of the game.
And now, Dan, there's been a concussion protocol since 2009, I believe, was the first year they started implementing things. It's been a joke for the entire time until this season.
Yes.
Because they've had a couple of situations.
Well, Edelman in the playoffs a couple years ago.
There have been guys left in games.
Zoe's in good quotes about
there have
that.
Been guys who have been obviously.
But Edelman can play. But Gronkowski was wobbled.
Dan, Edelman did not display obvious symptoms on the field.
Mm-hmm.
There have been far more egregious examples of quarterbacks who have been left in games.
He actually hurt his hip on the previous
and
drive.
And you look at guys who are out there and you're like, this guy doesn't know where he is, and they're letting him stay in the game. And it's obvious. And so now they've kind of been caught in these situations where the league has had investigations, the Cam Newton investigation of the concussion protocol. This has happened where now they're serious about it. Now they're like, okay, you're concussed, you're done.
Yeah.
You're not going back in. There's no chance of going back in
anymore.
I didn't
expect to see him again.
And if that's going to be the way it goes, you've got to start to consider what the penalty. So maybe it's not an ejection, right? Maybe it's not you kick the guy out of the game, but it's, hey, when you
make it hurt more in the
when you
the
have
moment.
A helmet-to-helmet hit, yeah. Those aren't 15-yard penalties
about it.
Anymore.
What he said earlier,
25-yard penalties, something.
You said earlier in the show, if you don't have Tom Brady, you don't win that game. That hit, if you didn't have Tom Brady and you had, say, the next level down quarterback, say it was Jimmy, you lose that game because of that hit.
Sure.
You understand that? You think Jimmy would have been able to do with this offense what Brady did? I don't think so. Because Brady's directive and his ability to move people is so far ahead of Jimmy 14 years into it to where I would, to not be fair to Jimmy, I'm not saying Jimmy doesn't have the talent to do that. It's the experience and seeing it all. You take the number one weapon out of the offense where you spend an entire week, he's the centralized part of your game plan. That's all out the window for two more quarters.
Yeah, I believe that. I go along.
So that hit would have won the game, in essence, if you didn't have Tom Brady. So the bigger picture of this move, say it's Mercedes Lewis, and he's 6'7", 6'6". I just don't think Devin McCourty or Daron Harmon would hit him the way that guy hit him, Church. I think they're taught to hit in the chest.
Because they don't want penalties.
Right.
Because the Patriots are very focused on being a disciplined, non-penalized team. That is something that Carlton should learn about. They're a very disciplined football team.
Appreciate
Carlton.
That's
why the other teams get called for more penalties, because they play a different style than some of the other teams they play.
Yeah.
But when you're a team going against, I don't know, name a team with a star player. Hell, it could be the Eagles. You could do the same thing to Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz, pretty important player for that team. Right? He had a concussion earlier this year. You know what? Hey, let's just blow him up. Let's take the 15 yards. Let's go after his head.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what you're opening the door for now with a legitimate concussion protocol that keeps players out of games. Go back to last year's Super Bowl. Would it have been helpful for the Patriots to go after, I don't know, maybe a top receiver for the Falcons?
Mm. Do you have a foot problem?
You know, maybe Julio Jones. Ah, well, you know what? Let's just make sure he's out. Let's put him out of the game.
Yep.
See if we can go helmet to helmet and concuss him.
Yeah.
Get him out, and we'll move on. Take the 15 yards. The 15 yards are worth it for a lot of players.
You know players are thinking about this because you even hear the Saints stuff coming off that with McLemore and the kid. It was Williams. I think Williams was the kid that ducked ahead, 43. Marcus Williams, I'm sorry. So Marcus Williams comes up, and he talked about, I didn't want to hit him high or get called for interference or who knows how referees are now calling the helmet-to-helmet stuff, or you take a guy's legs out. I kind of just ducked under because I got caught in that space.
And by the way, the hit itself, as we talk about,
he didn't even
want
to hit him in the head.
This is not one of those disgusting, awful.
This wasn't Antonio Brown.
Yeah, this isn't. This is the hit itself was not
one of these horrible hits we've seen.
And Cincinnati.
Some of that might be because Gronk is so big and can take the blow, and he makes it look like it's less than it really is. But I didn't feel the same way about the hit on Sunday like I did about
Antonio Brown in Cincinnati.
Who was the hit in the Chicago game this year?
Green Bay.
Chicago Green
Cobb.
Bay.
Right?
I thought that was a disgusting hit. I thought that was a bad one, where a guy's wrapped up and then someone else comes in to clean his clock.
Or is that Devontae Adams? One of them. I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah. Who hit him, though?
The linebacker for Chicago.
Yeah.
Trevathan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Danny Trevathan.
Danny Trevathan.
Former Bronco. Yes.
Good call.
Good job, Jim.
Like that
Sponge.
Hit. I didn't think it was as bad as that. I didn't think this was one of those horrible, egregious hits, but I do think the intent was there to hit him in the head because he had a chance to do it. It's not that it was that bad of a hit, but if you're going to go and hit a guy and you're up against a Rob Gronkowski, I'm going to take my shot with the head. Why not?
So, and my question would be, what's his alternative? To not launch with his helmet, but if he hits him in the shoulders, the chest, he's got a chance he might bounce off and he gets hurt.
Hit him in the shoulder, the chest, the
abdomen. Did anybody have a problem with Cam Chancellor's hit of Gronk that hurt, that injured Gronk?
No.
That injured him, and nobody had a problem with it.
No, because it was a clean hit.
It was just below the head.
Because that's where you should be hitting.
Wait a minute, I thought it was Earl Thomas. I thought Earl Thomas hit Gronk down the seam.
Okay, either way. Whoever it was. Yeah.
No, I even said it when Gronk got hit. Pull it out. I said, wow, that is as clean a play as you can hit Rob Gronkowski with. Clean football play.
Yeah, no, stunned and you know
him.
What?
You can tell he was out.
Yeah, and you look at that play, and it's very similar with two guys in coverage on Rob Gronkowski.
So
down the right seam.
It's so where you was.
Same spot
yes,
of the field.
It's almost identical. It's that play fake
almost
away.
Identical play.
It's the play fake away, and Brady swings the head back, tries to move the safety to stick
it's
it up the
same
seam.
Play, and yeah. Thomas drilled him.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, look at the look at
oh, oh, look at that. He hit him in the
square.
Chest.
And what do you do? Stopped and didn't get run over.
Right.
Boom.
I mean, not
so
only that.
So you're talking
Dan,
about landing Dan, a plane on an aircraft carrier.
Even if you are
going to
hit him in the head, there's a difference between going high on a player and hitting a guy maybe with your arm or shoulder in a guy's head versus your helmet.
Yep. Crown of your helmet.
It's a red.
I mean, give me a break.
Now,
oh, there's
is
nowhere
it a bang,
else
bang
could
play?
Hit him
yes.
Other than putting the crown of his helmet on the crown of Gronkowski's helmet. That just sounds stupid to say that. I think that Richard Sherman sounded ridiculous tweeting that out.
Yeah. And Richard's part of this. He was there witnessing it all. They're bang bang plays every single play on a football field. Now, that church play on Gronkowski, is it a bang bang play? Yes. It is a reckless bang bang play because he leaves the feet to go up. Gronk's 6'7". You look at Earl Thomas, he ducks the head to hit him in the chest with the edge of the shoulder. That's a bang bang play, but he hits him smartly. He's taught to hit in the middle because you know if I go for the head, I'm being thrown out.
617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by DiBella Law Office. John Feinstein says sometimes the apple does fall far from the tree. Oh, see what he did there?
Like
oh, my God, doesn't fall far from the tree. Right? No. He says sometimes the apple does. Oh. Maybe it falls off the tree and then it rolls away down a hill.
Do you like apples?
Love apples.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It didn't look good with 9 minutes left. The Pats trailed by 10 when they lined up for first and goal. G-O-A-L, goal.
A first and goal to go from the 9.
Rob got bumped and Brandon was cooked, but then Brady said, I can always find Amendola.
Looks down the middle.
D-O-L-A, Dola.
Catch by Amendola.
Danny Amendola.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
We got life. Somebody making a play to Danny Amendola.
They were down by 3.
Takes the snap.
They needed to score.
The play fakes Dwight.
Go up.
He looks down the middle.
So Tom said, please.
He fires and the ball is.
Danny, can you catch one more for me?
Caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. Patriots.
Amendola.
Bend the ground.
And now the play bowls up in the Super Bowl. In Minnesota.
Danny.
Danny Amendola.
Playoff Amendola.
Danny.
Drive. Amendola elevates.
Danny.
What a catch.
Toe-tap
in the back of the end zone.
Clutch.
You like that, Dan?
That is gold. I love that.
You follow me on Twitter, right?
Yes.
Check out one of my recent tweets from this morning. It's one of the most highly demanded things from our listeners. Bill Burr retweeted it. Hardy's rendition,
now,
creation.
Do you know who Bill Burr is?
He's a comedian of some sort.
Yeah. Just retweet my tweet to get it out there.
We're going to hear Bill Burr on
Hardy's
Dan Shaughnessy.
Hardy's got like 60,000 hits on this.
Next segment. We'll hear Bill Burr talking Shaughnessy.
Uh-oh.
That's coming up at 12:36. In the meantime, we'll go back to your phones talking about the hit to Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
And we will do that with Kyle, who's in Shrewsbury. Kyle.
Hey, how are you guys?
How you doing, Kyle?
Just calling in because last night I was listening to, I think, Cattle and Adam Jones.
Cattle.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know what they were smoking because they're talking about, like, Gronk. Oh, it was a clean hit. It was a clean hit. Watch the YouTube video. Anywhere you can find it. Like, Gronk's going out for the catch. He you can hit him right in his chest.
Right.
I can see his chest.
Just go watch. All you got to do is watch the Earl Thomas hit from over a year ago.
Exactly. There it is. I mean, you guys kind of said it before I could get to you, so, you know.
They said it was a clean hit? It wasn't
not a clean hit.
It's like,
No, it wasn't a clean hit.
Oh, they did say it wasn't.
They were saying it was a clean hit.
Oh, then they're idiots.
Yeah,
I mean,
stupid.
That is textbook flag right there. One helmet to another. You can't do that. Not clean. You might say it's not overly dirty. It's not the worst hit you've ever seen. Because it isn't. Because the hit itself was not one of the worst hits you've ever seen in that regard.
No. The worst part was he got grabbed
helmet
and held.
Helmet.
Like, if they didn't hit him helmet to helmet, there was not even going to be a flag on that play.
It was well defined in the rule book.
Yeah. It's pretty simple.
Yes. Josh in Boston. Hi, Josh.
Hi. It's a similar subject. Basically, you know, like, there's so much room. I mean, Gronk's chest is huge. You guys talk about the strike zone.
It's not Deion Lewis.
Gronk's strike zone is huge. Like, you're talking about, like you're comparing, like, it's not, yeah, exactly. It's not Deion Lewis. It's not Edelman. You know, it's basically like looking at Aaron Judge and saying there's nowhere to throw the ball.
Right.
Like, yeah, he's going to hit some home runs, but it's not that clown that they brought in from, I don't know, was it the Giants back in the 40s? Where the strike zone is so small that all you could do is walk him, and you know, in addition, you know, you can't really just find guys and suspend them because if a team is knocked out of the playoffs, you got to throw the guy out because if your team loses, then that's all that really matters.
To be fair here too, and to your point,
yeah.
And I know they reviewed a couple of the Cincinnati hits and the one on Antonio Brown, that fine got overturned. Because Antonio Brown, and this is when you start playing these smaller receivers, like Brown, like an Edelman, or like a Deion Lewis, when they make the catch, see the defender, and the helmet goes down, and then the strike zone all of a sudden is shrunk, and these defenders end up getting stuck in the middle, and it ends up being helmet to helmet. Flag is thrown, but the fine ends up getting rescinded. Because after review, the receiver started to go down too and started to initiate contact. Not so the case with Gronk. Fully extended. Hands are back, catches the ball, turns, and boom. And he goes up. Again, watch the player. Church extends up to go helmet to helmet. It's bang, bang, yes. Bang, bang still doesn't get you off the hook. There's bang, bang plays every play. Lower the shoulder.
Because it's Gronk, I'm asking you, because it's Gronk, is the defender worried that he's going to hurt himself by going lower?
No, he's worried about not taking the guy's knee up. Because it's happened to Gronk so many times.
But, I mean, going for his torso. I mean, does the defender worry that that's going to come back to hurt the defender?
It's still going to hurt regardless of where you hit a guy if you're
I don't think it hurt him too much. Hit him in the helmet with that kind of leverage.
It should hurt him, right? I mean, you're all against helmet-to-helmet hits.
I am.
These type of hits, yeah.
I am.
I'd say that would be very detrimental to the defender that he would knock his own self out.
And I was amazed at the amount of football explanation defending this play. There was a lot.
Too much.
Depends where it's from.
I think
you're going to get defense for it from defenders.
Yeah.
Guys that play
in
the secondary and guys that have hit fines, big fines. We can't even hit anymore.
Right.
We can't. I know the game's changed. Again, We had Brandon Browner here on the team, what, 3 years ago? Just 3 years ago?
Yep.
The game's changed that much since he was here. He was an intimidator.
Yeah.
He'd knock your head off. Can't do that anymore. You can't. You got a guy like Gilmore now. You got more of the athletic, you know, cerebral type defender. Just smooth.
Paul's in Grafton. Hi, Paul.
Hey, B. What up, 16?
Hi.
Dan, Jim, Hottie. Hey, I want to talk about Gronk, too, but Beetle, that Hottie, that Coach Tomlin injury report on Beetle's truck yesterday, hilarious. Radio gold.
It was awesome.
Yep. So what's going on now? So he's in concussion protocol. So what is he, like, in a quiet room eating baby food, or is he in a hospital, electrodes on his head? How'd they clear him?
I had meetings yesterday. They were at the team. He was with the team yesterday.
He's playing. I don't know.
I think he was fine yesterday.
So there's a number of steps. Step one is rest and recovery.
Five steps.
Could have been going to bed on Sunday night.
Slater, during his interview yesterday, said, I talked to him.
I'm not willing
to say
it's like nothing or he's going to be fine. They needed him in that game on Sunday. So if it was nothing and it was just a normal concussion protocol, he would have come back in.
No, because now if you're diagnosed, you can't go back on day of game.
It was something. So he was concussed.
Oh, he has a concussion.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm not willing to just like write it off as like,
I don't understand.
I think he'll play. I think he's going to be okay. But it's not nothing. It's a concussion.
If the league has this so in their hands now.
Yeah, legitimate concussion.
If the league has this so much in their hands now, and you could see that he gets up, and he's looking at Chris Hogan, and Hogan like grabs him. And I think if you slow the lips down, he goes, I don't know what just happened. I don't know what happened. And you could just see how rubbery the legs are. We knew it right then. He was done. How do we know it with him there? But when you have like a Tom Savage laying in the end zone with the fingers curled and you could see he's basically convulsing and foaming. And that guy, it's, you know what? We'll put him back in. Or wasn't it just Case Keenum with the Rams a year ago? Like falling down in a huddle twice? And they just kid. Jeff Fisher kept him in? Like, this all went on, but now all of a sudden we have a better handle on it. I still think there's a gray area here, man.
Coming up next, Bill Burr on Dan Shaughnessy being the Benedict Arnold of Boston.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots will get back to practice tomorrow as they get ready for Super Bowl 52 a week from Sunday in Minneapolis against the Eagles. Pats have elected to wear their away jerseys, even though they're technically the home team for the game. Pats are 3-0 when wearing white in Super Bowls under Bill Belichick. Bruins take on the New Jersey Devils tonight at 7 o'clock. Bees on a run where they've won 12 of their last 16 games and haven't suffered a regulation loss in the last 16 games. Charlie McAvoy is going to miss 2 weeks after undergoing a procedure to correct an abnormal heart rhythm. Judd Sropp, Bob Beers have the call on the New England Honda dealers. 98.5 The Sports Hub, Bruins Radio Network face-off just after 7 o'clock. Then it's the Celtics who are in L.A. to take on the Lakers. That's a late one. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell begin coverage at 10 right here on the Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by Helping Hands of America. Help a local charity and donate your car, truck, or boat today. Call Helping Hands at 888-881-9090. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Before we get to the audio of Bill Burr on Dan Shaughnessy, we'll talk to Mike in the Truck, who was in a movie with Bill Burr. Mike in the Truck.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey.
How's it going? How's it going, Zo?
How you doing?
What a game. I'm doing all right. What a game. Good game.
Bill Burr, friend of yours?
No, it just happens my daughter's trying to get into acting, and I brought her into a clip she was shooting with Wahlberg and Ferrell, and they asked me to sit in the audience just to be a fill-in. Next thing I know, Burr's sitting next to me. He walks in and sits next to me, and we're three rows back in the movie Daddy's Home 2.
I love that movie.
So listen, super nice guy. I didn't know him. I've seen him a couple times. But
yeah.
What a guy. Super, super nice guy.
You've seen Daddy's Home 2, Zoe?
Christmas one.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, he was in the
Daddy's Home 1. I'll tell you what, it's one of the best sequels. They say Rocky 2 is as good as Rocky 1. I disagree with that.
Okay.
I think Rocky 3 was better than that.
All right.
Daddy's Home 2 lived up to Daddy's Home.
Bill Burr, local guy from Canton.
Yeah.
Good guy. Boston sports fan.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was really good in it.
Oh, Mel was phenomenal.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, he was phenomenal.
Passion of the Crates in that one. It's one of his two best ones. And Braveheart.
They had some phenomenal scenes that Mel was in that, you know, didn't make the cut, and I was pretty shocked.
Is that right? All right, Mike.
Sort of like Godfather, too.
Mike, appreciate the call.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, Hogan's going to have the game of his life coming up. I'm
Hogan.
Telling you right now.
Hogan?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
All right.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
All
right.
I'll wait to hear from Mike.
Mike, we'll be waiting for that call after the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks when Hogan has a big one.
Later on in the show, Zoe's going to give his definitive rankings, and I believe, I don't want to tip the hand, I believe it goes Rocky 1, Daddy's Home 2.
No. Talking sequels.
Daddy's Home 1.
Daddy's Home 1
no,
and 2.
Rocky, no, Rocky 3.
The Rocky,
Rocky 3 is number 1, then Daddy's Home 2 is number 2. Am I right so far?
I want to go back to the Mel Gibson rankings.
Let's not do that.
Braveheart 1.
Let's please not do that.
Passion of Christ 2. Wait a minute. Lethal Weapon. I forgot about the Lethal Weapons.
So if he just directs
Lethal
the movie,
Weapon 1 and 2.
If he just directs,
okay.
That counts.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question.
Leo gets it.
Toucher and Rich, I think, did a topic like this a couple of weeks back, which was name a movie where the sequel is better than the original. And I can only think of one movie ever where I thought the sequel was better.
Grown Ups.
Terminator.
No.
Terminator T2 better than T1.
No, the kid ruins it. That kid ruins it.
Yes.
That might be an age thing, Beetle, for you.
Yeah.
Terminator
really?
1 was awesome back in the day.
The first Terminator is a classic.
First Terminator, I didn't sleep for 3 days after it.
Yeah.
Like, man, there's some cyborg out there that just
Oh, you want to know what? Beetle, because they make the Terminator, like, nice.
I don't know. I just thought T2
was
better.
So cute.
The Terminator,
so adorable.
Terminator had a Michael Myers feel to it. And then when they brought the cop into
T2
it, it got
better than
T1.
No way. Not even close.
All right. Sorry.
Your opinion is wrong.
I get no credit around here. All right, Bill Burr. Comedian Bill Burr. This goes back to last year after the Miami win for Jimmy Garoppolo over the Dolphins. And Bill Burr had enough of Dan Shaughnessy.
Joe Montana went to the Kansas City Chiefs. And you know what happened when he went there? The Kansas City Chiefs went to the playoffs. All right, you f-ing morons. Here's the deal. Mick Jagger needs Keith Richards. Bill Walsh needed Joe Montana. All right? And Bill Belichick is not going to win a f-ing Super Bowl with Garoppolo. At least not in the first. I mean, who knows what that kid can do. But at least not in the first. It's so f-ing stupid. I'll tell you right now, I mean, Belichick is so good, you can put anybody in there and they're going to win. Because we beat the Dolphins the second week. We're 2-0. Oh, that's it. That's it. Somehow now we're never going to lose a f-ing game again. So you know that chatter's going to happen because there's Buffalo Wild Wings people all the way up to guys like Dan Shaughnessy. He's going to say it. You know, thank God Garoppolo got hurt because Dan Shaughnessy, you know, the f-ing Benedict Arnold of Boston sports.
Wow.
That man lives to try to stir up a controversy to distract the hometown team. He doesn't give a f-. You know what I mean? He's like Skip Bayless before Skip Bayless. It's just, you just listen to the man. It's just like, dude, you're just literally just saying s***, aren't you?
Yeah. Bet you wish you made that Skip Bayless kind of money. You're
going
to be Skip Bayless before Skip Bayless.
No, I'm not saying stuff just to say stuff. These are my beliefs. No agenda. It's just how I feel at the time. You guys know that.
Bill Burr disagrees.
Should I follow him on Twitter? He's got like a million followers.
I think you should follow
him. He has like a million.
Give him a follow.
All right, see what happens. You think he'll block me or anything?
No.
Okay.
Probably talking about you in another skit.
All right, go to the thing. I'll follow him. Million.
Yeah.
Wow. Pretty good.
How many hits your song have now? What, 61,000? We started with like 56,000.
That's a great song. That's
unreal. The Amendola song. Everybody wants to
hear it. Patriots.com just did a little story about it.
It's quality.
Put together a little piece.
About your song?
Yes. I just saw it pop up on the old timeline.
Yep. Show content.
Yeah, you know what? A little bit too much attention might be a problem.
Should listen to every lyric.
I'm going to demand for it.
Should listen to every single lyric. Okay. No, they're fine.
Just, you know, if we're infringing on anybody.
No. It's fine. Please.
Or the Kink's going to be pissed?
Ray, I don't know.
Ray Davies going to come after me?
Beat you up like his brother.
Yeah.
Never know. You never know what's going to happen. Danny and Quincy on Tom Brady. Hi, Danny.
Mark, good to hear you back, brother.
Thank you.
Did you get my email?
I did. I got to respond. I'll respond
cool.
to you.
Just didn't want you to think I forgot about you, man, you know? By the way, Zolak, your broadcast is on my radio.
Thank you.
Okay? And I love the fact that I have one TV that has a direct line, no digital box. And, when you make the call, I have 5 seconds to go to see what happened. It's beautiful. I love it. it's the closest thing that I'm ever going to have to ESPN.
Isn't that confusing?
I'm sorry?
Don't you get confused at times?
No. I mean, I have the other cable boxes get it direct. But, I mean, you make the call, and then it's either going to be good or bad. A play is going to be either good or bad. Then I have 5 seconds to run to the TV to see what happened. So,
attaboy.
I'm buried in the kitchen cooking linguine with clam sauce, and I hear
you're Italian, man.
I'm going to the TV to see what happened. It's great. But,
you're Italian.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm American, but
there you go.
My parents are both from Italy. You know
nice.
What I mean?
Nice. Well, yeah.
So, anyways, but Beadle, you said earlier that you didn't think Garoppolo could win the game, right?
No.
Okay. So now is that an indictment on him or a testament to Tom Brady?
Testament to Tom Brady.
Okay.
Because Garoppolo's pretty damn good.
I got it clear. I mean, I'm not so sure it could have happened, but you know, I mean, would the 2001 Tom Brady have won the game on Sunday?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. You're consistent because I tend to probably agree with you on that. But the other thing that bothers me too is. By the way, Tony Maz is not a Patriots fan. He was on record as saying that last week on the air.
He said that?
He said that. I couldn't believe it. And I called in yesterday, and I meant to say it to him, but, it, you know, with Thug, you got to be quick, so otherwise you get cut. But anyways, so it never crossed my mind to say it, but he did say that, so you can corroborate it. But, Zolak, questions to you, right? Three things that bother me, fundamentally, and I'm surprised it happens on a Belichick coach team. The defensive backs not looking back for the football, although they corrected that. I think one guy made a play where his back was to the ball last week. But the other one was the defensive linemen not getting their hands up to try to tip a pass in lieu of not getting a pass rush on the guy. And the other one drives me crazy, and it happened, and it came back to haunt him, the running backs not switching the ball to the sideline hand. Isn't that a fundamental cardinal rule of a running back or anybody carrying the football that you switch the ball to the sideline in case the guy knocks it out or goes out of bounds?
See, it's interesting. When Deion Lewis catches that and he's scooting up, he tucks inside to the right to follow the screen. They set it up like a screen. And if you look at the play from the angle where Jack is coming to jump on his back, he's looking straight ahead to his left because he's got Melvin Smith sitting right there waiting to light him up. So number 50 is to his left. So technically, I could see why the ball's in his right hand because he starts to duck. And it's Jack that jumps on him, knocks the ball up from behind. So, I mean, it's kind of stuck in the middle there. You got defenders all around. They got great speed. Fundamentally, you don't have guys down guys that are 6'8", like Calais Campbell or Julius Peppers that they tell, get your hands up. When they're running those games and running those loops, they can't stop. James Harrison can't get his hands up. James Harrison's job is to get the hands up underneath the pads, get around the guy, and then go back downhill like he did in that game, late, twice. So each guy's different as far as that. And some of the stuff when you're running with a guy, if the ball's underthrown, you're taught to watch the hands of the receiver. When you start looking back and peeking back at the quarterback, that's when they move you with your eyes or a little pump fake. So you're better off always playing the defender instead of the ball. I can't blame Gilmore for that one at the end. And that's just the ball. It was back-shouldered throw. It was thrown short. He has great coverage. He's running with him. Westbrook makes that nice play, and nothing you can do about that. They're going to be good, too, at times. NFL, they make plays. Teams are good. Some skill guys are good in this league. It's hard, eh? Running downfield, trying to defend a guy in man-to-man coverage is one of the hardest things to do in a game.
Dan's dates are coming your way next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
If you're Dapper Dan.
Don't suck, Dan. That's my advice.
Hardy and I have already been down this path.
January 23rd.
January 23rd, that is today. People who were born on this day, Anita Pointer. You know who that is?
Pointer Sisters?
She is a sister.
I told you I almost bought one of the Pointer Sisters.
Almost bought their house.
Yeah.
I know that. Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're off to a good start.
We talked about that at length.
Really?
Just look, I know you don't want to know what the dates are like before. I'm not asking about the date. I will just say this. Dan and I talked about this off the air. Worst celebrity birthday day ever. Okay? Yeah. So,
really?
So far we have a Pointer Sister.
A Pointer Sister. Who,
all right.
And by the way, they were first cousins of Paul Silas, who was a big part of the Celtics' success in the 70s, just so you know.
Okay, got that going for you.
Very exciting.
Leave this going.
Also, John Hancock was born this date in 1737.
Hancock.
Princess Caroline of Monaco.
Herbie.
61 today.
Herbie Hancock.
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
That is. Oh, how old do you think Willie Mo Pena is?
40.
He is 36. He should have played football, too. If there were football in the DR, he'd have been a tight end.
He had a bad hamate bone.
Oh, man. He was he was a great.
It's a problem for him.
It's a DR.
Something. He had a ball off the left field wall that came back to the mound. I mean, he just
he was one of those.
Willie Mo.
Strikeout home run.
Traded straight up for Bronson Arroyo, who then went on and had like 12 seasons of, 30 more starts. But that's needless to say. Stuff that happened on January.
Yeah, you missed a birthday already. I'm telling you, you missed a birthday.
Really?
Well, there's only like two.
Well, I mean, Beetle, why don't you just come forward with that right now?
I'm going to tell you right now that Mariska Hargitay.
I have that. I don't know
who that
is. It's like Bill Burr.
Who's that?
You know exactly who that is.
She's an actress.
She's 54.
She was actually at the Garden for a Celtics game a couple of weeks ago.
What is she in?
She is in Law & Order, SVU.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She is one of the highest paid actresses on television.
Yeah.
And her mother is Jane Mansfield.
Ooh, you're doing well there. I would have had trouble saying her name.
Tito Ortiz and Tiffany Amber Thiessen. That's it. Those are the most famous birthdays of this
day. Made Tito's?
Those aren't
wait. Kelly Kapowski's birthday is today?
The Tito's vodka guy?
I know that means a lot to you.
It's a Tito's vodka guy.
No.
Birthday.
No, that's Tito Beverage. Tito Ortiz is a mixed martial artist. UFC.
All right, stuff that happened on January 23rd. A little better. The Ming Dynasty, which lasted nearly three centuries, began on this date in 1368. Georgetown University
Tiffany
was established.
Amber Thiessen's only 44.
On this date in 1789.
Gettable.
The seizing of the Pueblo in 1968 was a big deal. North Korea. They were badasses then. Big one in 1977. Nixon ended the Vietnam War. I'd say that's pretty big. Thanks very much.
What? Say that again?
Nixon ended the Vietnam War. He announced the end of the Vietnam War in 1973.
Oh, I thought you said 77.
I may have. Okay. On this date in 1977, the original Roots miniseries aired, which was a very big deal on television then. Salvador Dali died on this date in 1989. Here's one for you, Zoe. You'll like this. Well, two, actually.
I haven't liked any of them yet.
Willie Mays went into the Hall of Fame on this date. That was 1979. Here's one. Zoe, you will like this one. I promise. Ready?
Yep.
2005, Patriots 41, Steelers 27.
That's right. Brady had the fever game.
That was on the way to Jacksonville. So how many things are...
Pittsburgh was 15-1, that team.
Yeah.
Smoked them.
They were sure they were going to win again.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It was the second time in 4 years.
Brady had 104 temperature the night before.
One other thing. James Brown was sentenced to 6 years in jail on this day in 1989. He didn't feel that good that day. He got 6 years.
How much did he serve?
I think he served three, I believe. Had to do with a car chase that went across several states or something. Hardy?
Sometimes that gas pedal gets stuck.
I got the biggest one here.
What do you got?
Biggest this day for January, 23rd? On this day in 1957. In the 1957, machines at the Wham-O Toy Company rolled out the first batch of their aerodynamic plastic discs, now known to millions of fans all over the world as Frisbees.
Frisbees?
The Frisbee was essentially invented on this day.
You like it January 23rd now.
You dig that?
I love it.
Yep. Well, now
it depends on what kind of Frisbee. Yeah.
Well,
the good ones, the flying discs.
Zoe and I have pretty much married ourselves to, and for many years now, I've been a Discraft guy, the Discraft Ultrastar 175-gram Ultimate Sport Disc.
Nice one.
Which my friend Steve Hendershot and I have for years put forth as well as the Ultimate Players Association. That's the official disc of Ultimate. But props to Wham-O for inventing the Frisbee, because we all know when a
very good company, plus the yo-yo.
When a football goes to sleep at night, it dreams of being a Frisbee. This we accept as fact.
Wham-O also gave the world the Super Ball, which was the precursor of the Super Bowl. I think it was Lamar Hunt's grandson or something was playing with one of those things. And they said, hey, let's make that the name of the game, which it was not the name of the game in 1967 when they first played it.
Really?
No. It was just the big game. I forget what they called it, but it was not the Super Bowl.
They didn't get the name of the Super Bowl later, from the Super Bowl.
It came from a whammo. They did.
No, it didn't.
I'm Hardy. Test me in this.
Well, didn't the Rose Bowl exist before the Super Bowl?
So
they called this the Super Bowl.
It was not called the Super Bowl when it was first played in 67.
But there were other bowl games. You're saying they took Super Bowl from Super Bowl?
Yes.
History.com.
Yeah.
Says right here.
That doesn't make any sense.
Lamar Hunt. Whammo.
Not everybody knows that professional football's championship game owes its title to an unlikely source, the ultra-bouncy balls that entranced American children from 1965
I was entranced.
Until the late 1970s.
Late 1970s.
Those things were
when
great.
When Dan Shaughnessy used to still bounce his Super Bowl in the locker room of Celtics games while he was covering the
team. Bounce
it
right over your house.
It was
driveway.
Referred to in the first game. They called it the first AFL-NFL World Championship game, also calling it the final game.
Absolutely.
The championship game.
The Coliseum, not
the Super Bowl
out.
Brought to you by Super Bowl. Hey, kids.
Lamar Hunt blurted out an alternative with staying power, saying the I'm reading it so that I'm verifying
so happy
your story.
I'm validated here.
I'm validating your story. He blurted out Super Bowl, soon admitting that his two children's latest obsession, an ultra-bouncy orb called the Super Ball, had likely inspired his flash of brilliance. The word bowl was already in use for college football championships at the time, and other members of the planning committee began tossing the name around, and before long, the media picked up on it, the phrase Super Bowl, coming from Hunt's kids' beloved Super Bowl.
Coming from Whammo, home of the Frisbee.
Co-credit, because there were already football games called bowls.
Well, of course. It was the Pro Bowl.
Well, you went from, no, without a Super Bowl, they just would have called it the final game forever. I think they would have called it some kind of bowl.
Okay. But Super, I think, is the key word here.
Co-credit.
I have three more.
Three more
Red Sox trade, famous Red Sox trade.
Oh, good. I like that.
Oh, I don't know.
1981, Fred Lynn for Frank Tanana and Joe Rudy.
Wow.
That's right, because they forgot to send the letter.
No, that was Fisk.
That was Fisk.
Go ahead.
Yeah, didn't get the contract.
What?
That's good, Jimmy.
1975. Can you guys name this TV show?
Oh, I know this. I don't think this is the original, though, is it? This sounds like a cover.
It's kind of like a Night Court feel
to it.
It's
Barney Miller, isn't it?
Yes, it's not the original, I don't think.
Okay.
Okay.
81, the Red Sox, due to a front office mistake, forced to trade Fred Lynn.
Oh, no. Well, the big mistake was Fisk. They didn't mail the contract. He became a free agent. So,
maybe the same had happened.
Maybe it was
the
same happened with Haywood Sullivan screw up, like Super Bowl.
That's covered in Curse of the Bambino.
Oh, it's all in there.
Yeah. One more TV show, 1981.
A Team.
Hardy was quick on that one.
Debuted on this day,
1981.
Wow,
it's pretty good, Jim.
Real good, Jim. January 23rd.
Real nice work, everybody.
Nice work, people.
Put it together.
All right, Beatle, I'll see you in Minneapolis on Monday.
Dan is going to be a part of the show on Monday. It'll be Hardy, Beatle, and Shaughnessy for a couple of hours from Radio Row in Minneapolis.
Nice.
Zoe will not yet be with us.
I'm on my way.
You got another call in from the rally, Zoe?
Sure. Absolutely.
Kerry Byrne would like me to point out that John Hancock.
Kirby
Kerry Hancock.
Hold hard football Hancock. Facts, says it, John Hancock.
Hancock was born in Quincy Center, of course. He was born in Quincy.
Isn't that the most patriotic city in America?
Well,
John Hancock?
No bleep. Yeah, obviously.
I heard mention of it.
Herbie Hancock.
Okay. Wow, the show's flying today.
Jesus.
Another hour to go here on Zolak and Bertrand. Don't miss it. It begins in 90 seconds.